Pel Yoitz tonight. We're hoping to cover two topics. One is called Gorem Klol Liatzmo, and the other is called Dovev Sfasov Bakever.
Are these all for us tonight?
Those. These are for my Chumash Kesef if you're staying for another hour. So the Pel Yoetz has an entire section about dibur, about speech. And he divides speech into two categories. There's a speech that is commendable. It's
a speech that is what?
Commendable.
Yeah.
It's a mitzvah. And he goes through many categories. And then he has the opposite.
And then?
The opposite. I'm sorry, I don't have a microphone.
No, that's not it.
So on the opposite category, I'll just mention a few categories.
I'll just mention a few categories of
speech that's prohibited, that's negative. I'll just give you a little bit of an overview, and then we'll focus on our topic tonight of what's called Gorem Klol Liatzmo. But let's first mention a few categories of speech that have to be avoided. One category he has is a person who speaks in the middle of davening, or in the middle of kriyat shema, or in the middle of psukei dezimra. These are all situations and scenarios in which you're not allowed to speak. Another case he has is when he recites a bracha or a tefillah without kavana.
Just tell me what this is in Hebrew? Dibur?
Under dibur, correct. And then he has a category of a bracha levatolo, or bracha etzricha. Then he has a category of somebody who, chas v'shalom, says some very spiteful words to his friend, and he embarrasses his friend. He has a case of a person who paskins halacha in the presence of his rebbe. He has a case of a person who responds amen in an improper way, which is called amen yisoma, chatufa, chatufa. He has a case of a person who speaks and praises his friend in front of the enemy, which is going to cause lashon hara. He has a case of a person who recites vidui without having kavana. I'm just giving you a very quick overview. He has cases of lashon hara, of shvua sheker, of nivlus peh, of chanufa, where he flatters someone insincerely. He has a case of leitzonis, a person who spends his time making jokes and being cynical about things that are very serious. He has sheker, person who lies. He has a case of a person who curses his friend. And he has a case of someone who speaks improperly to his parents. He has a case of a person who gives a nickname to his friend. That's called Machan Hashem L'Chavero. He has a case of a person who gives a piece of advice which is not in place. You know, he wants to trick his friend. He has a place of Gonev Das Habrios. He has a case of a person who mentions a name for Avodah Zarah. He goes on and on and on. He has approximately 50 different, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I don't know, 50 different categories of Dibur that's Asur. I'm not even going through all of them. I'm just giving you a sense of how ethically, according to the Pel Yoetz, we have to be very, very careful about what comes out of our mouth. Now, amongst the categories that he has here, he has a person who is makalel eschavero, he curses his friend, or even if he's makalel himself, he curses himself. And he says that even if he curses himself, that's something that's very negative. And if you'll see on the page that I gave you, the language of the Pel Yoetz is afilu im yehe gorem klol liatzmo lo tov.
What number?
Number one. He says, Sharei omru al tehi kilolas hejot kala beinecha. Even if a person is careless about what he says about himself, that could have negative repercussions. So what I want to study with you tonight, in the first part of our discussion, we have two parts tonight, Hakofa Aleph and Hakofa Beis. In Hakofa Aleph, I want to discuss with you the possibility of a person who says something, and as a result, it's a curse. We're taking a look now at number two, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Rav Grandspeed. This is in Siman Lamed Gimel. Asur lahotzi mipiv dvar peronios al odom Yisrael. You're not allowed to say something that could mean that another Jew would suffer. Afilu lomar, even to say ilu hoya ploni kayam hoya bolakan. Even if so and so was here, we'll have to see what that means, then that also is implying that he's not here, you know, that he's even a peronius by implication. And here the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quotes a principle which we're going to see over and over again tonight, which is called Bris Krusa L'Sfasayim, that there's a certain power, almost a bris, a covenant with the Sfasayim, with the lips. V'ein lasos mora l'tinok b'dover tomei. Raz, this is bothering me. Raz, if you don't mind, it's interrupting my train of thought.
I wanted to make it off.
Yeah.
I wanted to turn it off.
That's yeah, if you don't mind, I'm trying to concentrate. He says, V'ein lasos mora l'tinok b'dover tomei. Go lomar chatul o kelev yikachuhu. You know, you want to scare your child because maybe your child is misbehaving. So you say something like, you know, the cat or the dog is going to come and take you away. And that's the way, if you know, people, parents will talk that way to children. Oh, no. Bris krusa l'sfasayim. You don't know the power of your lips. V'chein kol kayotze be'litzarch lizor ma'od me'hergel aloshen. Be careful about every word that comes out of your mouth, the way you formulate your words. So let's see if we can build up a number of examples to this, and then we'll try to open up for questions and get the whole picture. We have here a Talmud of the Truma Sadeshin. The Truma Sadeshin lived some 6 centuries ago. And one of the great grandparents of the Marshal, his name was Rabbi Yochanan Luria. The Marshal was a Luria, was a Talmud of the Truma Sadeshin. So this Rabbi Yochanan Luria writes a commentary on the Torah, which is called Meshivas Nefesh. And he writes on the pasuk that we read not long ago, Ki tikne eved ivri, yesh liten alev, we should focus our attention, shebekan medaber benochach. Ki tikne eved ivri is called benochach. What does that mean, benochach? It's in first person. In other words, I'm turning to you and I'm saying, if you purchase an eved ivri, Shar HaMikros, if we compare it to the other psukim here in Parshas Mishpatim, is Medabrin B'Loshon Nistar. We talk in third person. Ki Yimkar Ish, if a person, a man will sell his daughter as an Om Ivri. Ki Yichre Ish Bar, if a person, some anonymous person, will dig a bar. Ki Yinatsu Anoshim. Ki Yitain Ish El Rei Ehu. It's only here in this case. It says, ki sikne eved ivri, if you'll buy an eved ivri. Says Rabbi Yochanan Luri, why the change in the grammatical form? And the answer is, he suggests, shakodesh baruch hu medadek bedavar belosha nochach bedvarim she'ein peronius li'odom kigon ki sikne. Aval bedavar shu peronius medaber benista. When we're talking about something that's evil, that's something that befalls a person, some misfortune, the Torah doesn't want to look you in the face and speak to you in the first person. Because bris krusa l'sfasayim, we have this principle that we have to be very careful about our language. So therefore, for example, if we talk about ki natsu anoshim, which is a whole parasha, a whole episode where there was a brawl, there was a fight, and somebody got killed, or we want to talk about somebody who dug a bar in Rosh Hashanah and somebody fell and got killed, we don't want to talk b'loshon nochach, but rather we use the loshon nistar. And when we use the loshon nistar, we're just sort of theoretically describing a scenario. However, if there's something that is not a peronios, it's not a negative anguish for, you know, causing episode, like for example you buy yourself an eved and he's going to be able to serve you for 6 years, then we can talk to you b'loshon nochach, in first person. V'alkein yilmod adam shelo lahazkir lechaveru shum parnios b'nochach. You should never speak to your friend in first person and talk to him about something that would be catastrophic, that would be negative, that would be destructive, that would be harmful in his life. Afilu al tanai, even if you mention a condition, because bris krusol is vasayim. And we have to be careful about what we speak. And we derive this from the pasuk that says, kima'at kisdom hayinu. When Yirmiyahu HaNavi wants to castigate the Jewish people, he says we're almost like Sdom in our actions. V'samechle, in the next pasuk it says, shimu dvar Hashem k'tzinei Sdom. As a result of the fact that he compared the Jewish people to Sdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's listen to what these people from Sdom have to say. God brings about punishment on the Jewish people because the Navi said, kim'at kisdom hayinu. We were like Sdom. And once those words came out of his mouth, is bris krusol es vasayim, it's not going to be good. So we have to be very careful about saying something to someone that would indicate that he's going to suffer, even if you say al atnai. And therefore, we understand the tshuva of the Tzam Sof. If you turn your page a little bit on the side, and you look at number 4, he says the following. It's the last day of Yontif, of Pesach. Erev Yontif HaAchron Shel Pesach. And Bo Alai Ish Echad Ubiyado Megila Afa Hetek Miksav Pinkas Moel Acher Bekila Kedosha Detzelam Smucha Lakan Visham. So again, you know, the Tzam Sof was in Hungary in a place called Presburg, and Salem was not that far from Presburg, and a michtav, some sort of a letter, came from a moel. And what does it say in the letter? The letter tells the following story. It records the episode. Maisa Iroli Eitzel Yeled. He tells you the name of a child who had to be circumcised. Shenolad Mohul. And I have a copy, says the Tzam Sofer, of this letter of the Moel of Tzelem. And what happens is that this child, unfortunately, passes on. Lo niflav lo rechoka ki ayaroi lomus imi pas dibras talmidich hachomim yedidi befrankfurt amain hagon morenu Rav Yoav. Okay, we don't know all these people, the names, but he says, Asher shaftu leben moves, v'hu kishkaga hayotze me'asholit, v'lo nafish schuse dahay yinuka v'avuse mischuse demarshmuel v'yinuka tishchiva al divras rav pinchas achohoi imipas dibarta harbe b'nei odom shedibru bo v'nosu v'nosnu bo is muzeres b'levona l'hamis v'lelahachios. Basically what he's saying is, the Tzam Sofer, that as a result of something that was declared about this child, that, so to speak, closed the, you know, finalized or sealed the decree on this child, and the child did not survive. And all this, says the Tzam Sofer, is a result of bris krusol es vasayim. And that's a Gemara Ksubis, which tells us that we have to be very careful about what we said. Now, again, the facts of the situation or the episode are not absolutely clear, but what we do know is that the language of Misas Hayelid Lo Nafla Lo Nifla Rechoka means that this child is ill or something, and it's not going to surprise us if the child doesn't survive. That itself caused the death of the child. So you have to be very careful about what you say. We'll get another picture from the Otsi Yedias HaSholem of Rav Stern here on the bottom right. This is a massive work called Otsar Yedias HaSholem from the Rav of Ezra's Torah, which is not far from here, called Rav Stern. And he says, Altia Kilolas Hejo Kalabenech, if somebody curses, don't take it lightly, even if that person is not a great scholar. And he quotes the Sefer HaChinuch, that yesh koach bedivrei pi ha'adam, that there's a certain power inherent in the mouth. And again, quoting the Gemara in a few places, among Kotten and Ksubis, it says, bris krusos vasayin, ki bios ha'nefesh ha'medaberes Sheva Adam Chelik El Yoni. The power of speech comes from on high. It's a very high kind of a power. And it says in the post, Vayipach Bi'ap of Nishmas Chaim, that God blew into man a soul of life. And Unkelus translate that as the power of speech, L'ruach Mimalila, is Nasam Bokach Rav. God planted, so to speak, inherent in the power of speech, some unbelievable power, lifol, that it could accomplish things. It could have repercussions. Afilu Makum Shu Chutz Mimena, even if it's beyond his, you know, what's normally his control. And nevertheless, he cursed somebody, and that curse has a power to it. Now, the last part of this paragraph is on the top of the left column. You'll see it as number 6. L'chora, im lo magilo klola, if that person doesn't deserve to be cursed, ech yukulal adam, how could it be that a person has the power to curse him? And the Arachayim HaKadosh explains in Parshas Balak, that's the whole parsha of cursing Bnei Yisrael, when he hires Bilam, l'fisha midoso shal Shem Yisroch laharech afo li'ovde ritzono, God tries to be very passionate and very patient with those who are basically out there to fulfill His will, v'noheges tamid, and that compassion of God, of harichas apo, is always active, zulas, with the exception of bi'eis asher yizom Hashem. There's a moment of za'am, somewhere within the system of the universe, there may be a split second or a fraction of a second during the day, which is called ace asher yizam Hashem. That's when the midah of din and justice is looking for some possibility of meeting out punishment. Ukmochein, what happens is kshekilo adam es chavero, when a person curses his friend, even though his friend really doesn't deserve that curse, but to sovev haklola, it means that that klola has some sort of a power within it to create an ace zam, some sort of moment of justice up on high. Shavonosov, the few sins that he might have, asher Hashem marech lo apo aleim, God is compassionate and delays punishment, but yemayer li para mimenu, as a result of this curse, it generates a shas zam, and somehow metaphysically...
Well, it's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, this is the Yerachayim in Parshas Bilam, in Parshas Balak, that he knew exactly how to find the Shas Hazam. Now we're saying that a klola from a hedgehog, from a person who's not a great scholar, even for a person against the person who's not roi, he doesn't really deserve the klola, he has very little sins, but nevertheless, because of those sins, the klola creates some sort of midas hadin, and God judges a person, and the klola could be effective. So again, we have to be very, very careful about what we say. Now, the Grivet here, the head of the Beis Din, of the Beis Din Tzedek, the Badatz here in Eretz Yisrael, was Rabbi Yitzchok Weiss. And I don't think he's alive anymore, if I remember correctly. He writes in a book called Elef Ksav that Dodi Mori Hagon Rav Avram Pragerzal, who is the Av Beis Din in a place called Taflochachin, he said to me that in his harem we should be careful milomar to say litain motze b'mishta hachatuna. What does that mean? He says the following: when the pasuk in Mishlei says matza, which means matza isha matza tov, when a man gets married he finds goodness. But there's also another pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "Motze anias ha'isha marmi moves." And this Rav Prager said that the word "motze" is a dirty word, and it has to be avoided at the time of the wedding. Why? Because the word "motze" indicates that this marriage is going to go sour. It's "motze anias ha'isha marmi moves," and that would be like what we call "poseach per lasatan." And the Gemara says that a person has to be very careful about what he says. So imagine how far this Rav Prager would go in terms of the power of speech, not even to mention the word motze at a wedding. And here, we want to take a look at Tov Chayabim, which is a work on Chumash, in Parshas Mishpatim. And it says, Elokim lo sekalel, V'nasi v'amchalo sar. And he tells a story about a slonima chassid. What happened? This was in Yerushalayim. He tells you the abbreviations of the name of this slonima chassid. He doesn't tell you exactly what his name is.
Which year does it say the date?
He doesn't have a date to it. He tells us that for 24 years he didn't have children. From the day of his marriage, 24 years went by.
Oh, I know the story.
You know the story, okay. I don't remember the story, so for me it's a chazor.
About the woman that he cursed?
Correct.
Yeah, it was in the magazine.
Okay, good, good. Here's the source in the Sefer Tuvcha Yabim. So the magazine's got it from here. What happened? He finally, after 24 years, had a child, had a boy. How did that happen? And he says the following. That this Slonim HaChassid was from the Chashuvim of the Slonim HaChassidim in Yerushalayim. When he was young, he learned in the yeshiva of Slonim, and he was known as a great masmid. He was very dedicated and diligent in his studies. There was a woman who was hired to clean the floors in the yeshiva in Slonim. She came to her work, and sometimes she would bring her children along, her small children, because she didn't have a babysitter. And
she
they
was
would
afford it. She was washing floors. She got
right,
was
and she was now disturbing or causing a disturbance to the people learning in the yeshiva. Now this student that we're talking about, who eventually became such a great rabbi, he was a big masmid. And one time he said to her that, you know what, the children are playing and they're making noise and I can't concentrate. So the woman, who apparently was insulted a little bit, she said the following: Halavai shalotizke litom estamo shal tzar gidul bonim. You should not suffer what I suffer to raise children. That's called tzar gidul bonim. And all she meant to say was that he shouldn't have to suffer tzar gidul bonim. She didn't say that he shouldn't have children. But how is he not going to suffer tzar gidul bonim if he has? I mean, by definition, if you have children, you're going to have to suffer with your children. They're not always so well behaved. So at the time, this rabbi understood that really she was giving him a bracha, because after all, you know, she caused him a certain disturbance. So instead, she offered at least a bracha that he should never see in his lifetime tsar from raising children. But even though that's what she really meant, but listen to her words. At that time, she was angry, she was insulted, she was frustrated with the comment that he made, and she said, you shouldn't suffer from tzar gidul bonim. Now, many, many years went by, and nobody remembered this story, because it had happened so many years ago, and it wasn't such a big deal, right? This particular slonim chassid, nisa lebasugo, Vehine cholefes shonim v'einhem nifkadim b'zer shal kayoma. And this chassid, years after the story, because he was a young boy when the story happened, he gets married, and unfortunately they don't have children. They went to every single doctor that they could. They went from hospital to hospital. They went from country to country. And they never were able to have children. Now they're close to the age of 50, and they're still a childless couple. At one point in time, the chassid remembers the story that happened with this, you know, Ozeret, you know, this woman who cleans the floor. And he began to understand that maybe there's some sort of you know, divine curse over here. That maybe the fact that he remembered the story all of a sudden was a special divine gift, a siyata d'shmaya. And he began to think about the story. Why is he thinking about the story, you know, 40 years after the story happened, or whatever number of years, 35 years. All of a sudden, it occurred to him what she had said, and he started analyzing that he should not suffer from tzar gidul bonim, that maybe that was a klala, was a curse. that he would not have children. He began to do research. What's the name of that woman? Where does she live? And finally, he was able to track her down. She was still alive. And the rabbi went quickly to her house, asked for mechila. She, of course, gave him full mechila. I mean, what did he say? He just said that, you know, your children are disturbing me. And she added a bracha, and she said that you should have children. 9 months later, to the date, they had a child after 24 years of being married without a child. Once again, we see that what comes out of a person's mouth has to be weighed very seriously. And even though a person is speaking about himself, even in that case, that's not the case that we did here, it could have disastrous repercussions.
Isn't it a corollary? Can't you bring in the ayin hara? In other words, you have to watch what you say, because I said when someone compliments you, right, don't give me an ayin hara.
Correct. And that's what this whole paragraph here in the Peleoites about how we have to be careful about not saying the... So the ayin hara here might be that the ace hazam that we spoke about before. David?
The husband would say to his wife, you look very great, dear Taylor. The dress is beautiful. Is that ayin hara on his wife?
He said, oh, I don't know about that. I think a person should compliment his wife. That's a very big issue. Ayin hara means when you say something that indicates jealousy or so. You know, why do you get it so good and I don't get it so... That's a kind of an ayin hara.
And someone said you're very energetic.
So yeah, that's not an ayin hara. But when you say something that indicates a claw, you know, let a dog bite you or something like that, that's really playing with fire. Now, since we're on the subject of dibur, we want to go back to the positive categories of dibur, and we discuss a concept called dovev yesharim, which means that yehisvasav dovros bekever. So you're going to flip the page to the other side. You'll see on the top right, it's number one, and it speaks about Dovev Sifsei Yeshenim, which is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. And Chazal understood that, what does this mean, Dovev Sifsei Yeshenim? You cause the lips of a sleeping person to speak. Very strange pasuk. Kol Tamid Chochim Sha'omrim Dvar Torah Mishmo Ba'olam Hazeh. If you speak the Divrei Torah of another Talmud Chacham in this world, even if that other Talmud Chacham is gone, Sfasov Dovros Bakever, his lips, so to speak, figuratively, speak in the coffin, so to speak, even after death. V'yeshlo hanav v'nachas ruach. The Peleoit says that there will be a kind of a spiritual benefit that accrues to the person who's already gone because he's being quoted and his Torah is being transmitted. That's called Shehei Sfasov Dovros Bakever. And I have to tell you personally that after my father passed on, we got together and we gathered some of his writings and we published them as a sefer, and we published actually 53 essays of his that were never published. It was his notes, you know. In some cases, we had to really reconstruct it. And we wrote an introduction to this sefer, and we said Shei Sfasav Dovros Bakever, that anyone who reads these 53 or any of these 53 pieces, essays, and transmit them further, they are giving my father, in this case, a hana and a nachas ruach. It's as if he himself is alive transmitting his Torah. And my father's name was Dov, and we're talking about Dovos Bakever, so it was very easy to connect my father's name to the book, and this is the book that we were able to publish.
It took us,
well, we didn't call it Dovos Bakever because we didn't want to mention the kever here, but we use the word dov and the word dovos. And if you want to see the Sefer, I can get a hold of it for you. There are very few copies left because it's been a while since my father passed on. But we have, it took us 5 years to publish the book. And thank God we were able to do so. I got a lot of great compliments from the book. In fact, the former chief rabbi asked me for a few copies. So that was a big...
Sachs or...
No. Chief rabbi here in Israel. Sachs, I think, was in England, if I'm not mistaken. No, this book is in Hebrew. We wrote this book for my children, my grandchildren, and my siblings' grandchildren. They all live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what we did. Okay. Anyway, what we want to take a look at now is a sefer called L'Nefesh Chaya in Parshas B'Shalach. You know that Chazal spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the word Yashir means in the future tense. It says Oz Yashir Moshe Ovene Yisrael Sashir Azos. It should have said Oz Shar Moshe Esashir Azos. Why the future tense Yashir? And again, as I said before, there are many, many different answers to this question. One of the answers, I think, touches on the book that I told you about, that we, the Dovid Meisharim, that we published in memory of my father with his Torah, that the word Yashir in the future is based on the Gemara in Yevamos that we saw before, that Kol Omer Dovid B'Shem Omer Sfasov Dovros Bakever. In other words, whenever you and I, or any member of Klal Yisrael, repeats the Shira, what we're doing is we're taking the words of Moshe Rabbeinu and our ancestors who sung this song at Maimad Kriyas Yamsuf, and Sifsei Yisrael, the Sifsei Moshe Rabbeinu of the Dor Midbar, is Meshorim. It's like as if they're singing. So the Oz Yashir means that in the future there will be a song. There's a song now at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, and then there's going to be a constant re-singing of that song, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu and the members of Klal Yisrael of that generation will be Sfas of Dovros Bakever. It's as if they are singing the song again. Pela v'chidashir. He says that Tamid, Liasid Tamid, Yan Viomru Lemar, Kihem Tiknu Viomru Lemar, Shibachola Doros Haboim. It says, Oz Yashir, Moshe Vene Yisrael, Shir Zosim Viomru Lemar, Lemar to be said in the future tense. And it will be said and recited over and over again during all the generations of Klal Yisrael. It's going to be the same exact Shira, and it's as if that Moshe Rabbeinu and that generation of Dor HaMidbar are singing together with us today. Unbelievable. And now he tells a story about Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro, who was the chief rabbi of Lublin before the Holocaust, he was the, if you remember, the Mecholel, he was the creator of the Daf HaYomi. When he died, it was a tremendous loss to Klal Yisrael. And one of the maspidim who gave a hesped in honor of the first yahrzeit, the first anniversary of the death of Rav Meir Shapiro, was the Divrei Yechezkel. The Divrei Yechezkel is a classic work on Shas, of Lumdus. And it was on Lumdus. It was authored by Rav Raphael Hochberg. And he was the author of the Divrei Yechezkel. Here's what he says in his Hesped, and the punchline is going to come at the end of paragraph number 2, of the section number 2. He says, now it's a full year since the death has, he used a pasuk from Eicha, Maves Ola B'chalonosenu, that there's death in the windows, and God took away from us the spirit of our life, the Gadol Shebanokim, the great giant amongst giants. That's Rav Hagon, Rav Meir Shapiro, the Abbezdin of Lublin. And the wounds, even though it's a year old, have not been healed. We're still suffering. The tragedy is still great. he uses a melitza, kind of a metaphor. He says that many physicians try to use their powers to heal the wounds, but there's no success, because with every day that passes, we continue to feel the lack, the absence of this great loss. We don't have any person today who can fill and replace him. He was the maimad, he was the pillar of all of the great mosdot, and especially of the yeshiva called Chachmei Lublin. Does anybody know historically how many years that yeshiva was active? 9 years. That's it. Until the Nazis came in. And to get accepted to that yeshiva, you had to know half a shas. It was really for the Mitzuyanim. It was the highest level yeshiva in Jewish history, probably. And this was the great creation of Rav Meir Shapira. His Talmidim mourned and bereaved his loss for many, many years. Now, Rav Rafal continues, and he says the following. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, it's a decree of God, that the dead is forgotten after 12 months, that's a Gemara Psachim, but with regard to this person, this great giant of giants, Rav Meir Shapira, who was such a Rav Palim, who achieved so much of his life, even after his death, he is still working on our behalf up in Shamayim. And this is based on a Gemara in Brachos. Again, Rabbi Yechezkel has a new twist on the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, Tzadikim ein lehem menucha. They're always active. They never rest, but sit back on their laurels. Lo b'olam hazeh, the Gemara says, v'lo b'olam haba. So what are they doing in olam haba? They're asking and praying on our behalf. They are working overtime in the world of neshamas. They're omed u'meshamesh. And now too, even after his death, Rav Meir Shapira is omed meshamesh. He's standing in the yeshiva shel mala. And he was accepted on high by the Tanoim and the Maroim and the Maromim. They accepted him and they received him with Panim Yofos, because he has that friendship, he has that kedusha, that sanctity, and they really give whatever they can to him, and they accepted him, and so forth and so on.
Who said this?
Well, the main point is in the next paragraph. That's the key point.
No, but who said that? Where are he holding now?
This is what Rav Rafal said. If I said it, you would laugh at me. But the Divrei Yechezkel said it. You have to take it seriously. That he somehow knows.
He just can't say.
He knows that when the Gemara says about Tzaddikim Ein Lehem Menucha Lom Haba, it has a particular application to Rav Meir Shapira. And he has no doubt that Rav Meir Shapira is up there in the Olam Haba, and he's doing whatever he can on behalf of Klal Yisrael, just like he did in Olam Hazeh. He's not resting. He's not sitting back on his laurels, as we said before. But let's get to the last paragraph, because that's the one that ties into our Peleoates tonight. He says, Lo ye'ot laset nehi laskaras haneshama gvoa. He says, it's not appropriate to just wail and express our grief for this very intense and special neshama that was lost, this very high, lofty neshama. We haven't forgotten him. And he says that, what can we do to express our grief? He says that, this I can't make out this word, it's from Kohelis, Yishava la'ashir einenu meniach lo lishon, okay? Harechush HaGadol, okay, this is the punchline. Shehirbitz Torah. What is the great legacy of Rav Meir Shapira? He taught Torah. He was a Marbitz Torah. Hemet Talmidim Harbe. He had many, many students. That rechush, that accomplishment, is Ein Meniach Lo Lishon. He's not going to sleep. We're going to wake him up, so to speak, from his sleep. What does that mean? midayom biyoma, on a daily basis, ki azkiru, when we mention him, when we think of him, vi omrim shmuosav, and we pass on and we transmit his insights into Torah, his chidud ba'alocha, his sharp understanding of halacha, his memela, we wake him up from the kever, memela sifsosav dovros ba'kever. What can we do as his students to guarantee that he will still be alive and be working, so to speak, actively on behalf of Klal Yisrael and not sleeping in his kever? What we can do is we can take his legacy and transmit it daily and speak about his Torah. And therefore he's Odenu Chai Ben Achaim, he's considered still alive because he's still speaking. And that's what the Gemara tells us, a story about in Ksuvos about Rebbe, that even Rebbe, after he passed on, every Friday, he would somehow, in his spirit, he would show up to his family, in front of his family. Hayu machmaski be'esa zosha lel Shabbos Kodesh, miskanshe Yisrael be'knishta. What brings Rebbe on every Friday night back to his family? How can he still be alive after he died so many years ago? And the answer is because on Friday night, we all gather in the Beis HaKnesses, and we learn his Mishnayos. We read Bamem Adlikin. Now, again, if you would ask me why we read Bamem Adlikin on Friday night, I would have given you any number of answers. Mostly because the laws that are incorporated and codified in those Mishnayos are very relevant to Shabbos. We're entering into the Shabbos, we should be studying those laws. But here, the Divrei Yecheskel is giving a whole new twist as to why we recite Bamem Adlikin.
It's a shul that said Kigavna.
Well, even a shul that says Kigavna usually says Bamem Adlikin. For example, the Sfaradim will also recite Bamem Adlikin.
So he was already etched in stone. So
correct.
He turned around.
Exactly. You're 100% right. Raz, you hit it on the nail. You're right. This was a minhag that evolved because of Shabbos. But what he's saying is that as a result of this minhag, Rebbe is now given a wake-up call. Why? Because we're learning his Torah. All of Klal Yisrael on this Friday night is studying his Mishnayos in Bamem Adlikin. Just 1 second, let's just finish the punchline. V'chol tikune Shabbos ha-Mishnayos shesidur Rebbe. We're learning all the takanas of Shabbos which were organized in the Mishnayos of Rebbe. Lachem, and therefore, iti oz lebeso. It makes sense that that's the moment that he could show up in his house, or he could show up as an ish chai, so to speak. Why? Because by learning his Torah, it's svas of dovros by kever. He's no longer yashen. Remember the pasuk that we started with tonight was dovev sifrei yashenim. The yashenim who are sleeping are those who are dead, but they're not sleeping because we are able to activate their speech by passing on their Torah.
But this is not such a yotzei minhag. Call you Rashi. I mean, we talk about Rashi today. He could be sitting next to it. Rashi said. We can say he said in the past tense. We do that with Rashi, and we do that with the Rav. We talk about the Rav you gave
us. Yeah. That's.
I mean, it's not.
But again, what Rav Fall is trying to impress upon his Talmidim is that if we want to make sure and guarantee that Rabbi Shapiro is still alive, What that means is that he's not dead in his kever, in his burial place, but he's actively. What we have to do as his talmidim, you know, you say Rashi, of course, that's upgrade. That goes without saying. We certainly repeat Rashi 1,000 times a day, but he's saying it as a hesped. He's saying it. What's the purpose of his hesped?
We'll apply it to other people.
Great. We'll apply it to everybody. But I just wanted to show you, this is a wonderful illustration of how we can activate a dead person to work on behalf of Klal Yisrael. This is a beautiful hesped. You will not find this anywhere else. Trust me, Roz. This is a hesped that's one in a trillion. And it's telling you that if you want to pass on the legacy of somebody who passed on, if you want to make sure that he's still alive and he's not dead, what you have to do is you have to pass on his Torah. And now you can apply this to everyone. But this is the source. This is the original. From here we learn about how critical it is and how a great responsibility and a great opportunity that we have of Dovev Siftei Yeshenim, that we can wake up the Yeshenim out of the kever. And how do we do so? By passing on and transmitting the Torah. And therefore apply it as much as he can to transmit the Torah in the name of those whose Torah you are transmitting, and therefore you will gain this unbelievable kiyum of Sfas of Dovros Bekever. And therefore we should dedicate ourselves to try as much as we can to pass on the Torah of our Rebbeim, of our greats, and that will awaken them, and they'll be amongst us. They're alive. They're not dead. You know, we think that death is final. Death is not final. And that's what the Divrei Yecheskel is trying to impress upon us. Something that gives us a whole new perspective in the way that we transmit Torah. And therefore, the Dovid Meisharim that I spoke to you about is a great kiyum of Kibud Av V'Em. And it means that if we pass on the Torah of our Father, that's Yisvas of Dovros Bekev.
Can't you say in the Chabad Lubavitcher Rebbe, you have such a strong Chabad movement all over the world?
Great! That's wonderful. I love Chabad. I'm a big fan of Chabad. I'm seven generations Chabad on my father's side. Seven generations. So you don't have to tell me how great it is that in Lubavitch we pass on the Torah of Arabeim. Every Hasidish movement will try to pass. I'm going to give a shir and chumash here from the Shvilei Pinchas, where Pinchas Friedman Shlita. Again, he's going to pass on the Torah of bells because he's a Belzer Chassid. He's the Rosh Kol in bells. And this Shvilei Pinchas, which is a weekly insight into the parasha, an essay on the parasha, is another opportunity to pass on the Torah of the Rebbeim. So for Lubavitcher, it's Lubavitch. For Belzer, it's Belz. And if you're a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, you want to pass on the Torah of Soloveitchik. If you're a Talmud of Rav Aaron Kotler, you want to pass on the Torah of Aaron Kotler, and it's endless. But this Hesped has to be written down and inscribed in our memories, because this is a breakthrough Hesped. It happens to be about Rav Meir Shapiro, and it can be applied in so many different ways. Okay, I hope we have a little bit more time, because I have a lot on the agenda here. Let's go on to number 3, the Ma'ari 9, one of the great Hasidish giants. And he writes the following.
It's
The Chernobyl Rebbe.
Oh, the Chernobyl
Rebbe. Yeah, the Ma'ari 9. You have it? Number 3.
Oh, that's Twersky's.
Yes. And he says on the Pasuk, Vayalu ba'negev vayovo ad chevron. Okay, this is the parasha of the Meraglim. Rashi says that when they passed Chevron, Kalev went to the Kivrei Avos in Chevron, Vinishtate, and he prostrated himself over the Kfarim, asking them to please plea on behalf of the Jewish people. He says the following, Bidoros Hachronim, in the last generations, Kishalomdim, whenever we study the Torah of a Tana, of a Chacham, of one of the earlier generations, Hadavra, who that enterprise of studying his Torah, who Chiyus Mochin Shalom. Again, there are a lot of Kabbalistic words here, but it gives a certain power of life to those who have deceased, who have departed. Ha'adam alomed u'medavet dvarav, if a person dedicates himself to study and pass on the words of the Kadmonim, the earliers, is medabek u'machnis chius u'mochin shalo l'toch ha'diburim. He says that there's a certain chius, a certain life force that is inherent in the speech, in the teaching of the Torah, the transmission of the Torah. V'nikra, and you can call it based on chasidus, is Dabkus Ruach Berucha. In other words, there's a synthesis here of a Ruach with a Ruach, the Ruach of the Torah that's in the words, and the Ruach or the Neshama of the person who originally spoke those words. Ulekach mechayos. So that ruach gives a spirit of life, a power of, or an energy force, what the French philosopher called the ilan vital, into this new, this gadol, this kadmon who died. Machnis hachis vadiburim. And therefore, Sfasav Dovros Bekever. So we now have a Hasidic or a mystical approach to how this operates. There's a certain life force that's inherent in the power of speech. Those words now will somehow connect with the life and give a life force to those who originally spoke those words. So the speech now in which I transmit the Torah is like a reiteration of the original speech. It's like the Oz Yashir that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Dor HaMidbar are now singing with us. The Efshalomar ki zoi bechinas ishtachus al kivetz. Why do people go and visit the cemeteries of tzaddikim? The, how'd you say in English the makom kvura, the burial plots,
grave,
of whatever the word
grave,
is?
The grave.
Excellent. The graveside of tzaddikim. A lot of people do this. There's some people today go to Europe, to all sorts of far flung places to visit kibbutz tzaddikim. And why is that so? And why is it that Kolev at the time of the story of the Meraglim goes out of his way to visit Kivrei Avos? He says because Diburei HaTzadik Shom Hu Kavur V'Tomun. Again, a mystical concept. He says that what's buried in that place is not just the physical remains of the Tzadik, but what's also Kavur V'Tomun, what's also concealed or buried, is the Chiyu Shalo, his life force. Because that's where the Tchiyas HaVesiv is going to come from. V'zeu HaLimud, and that's the Torah that he taught. U'v'ikonso im achius u'mokin shol etoch achius u'mokin shol tzadik. If he goes to the place of burial of the tzadik, and he has the ability to connect his chius, because he's alive, with the chius of the tzadik that's somehow tomun, and in the dibur of the tzadik, there's a chiyus tomun, is nikra that achieves is davka ruach berucho usfasov dovros bekever, and therefore he says that the Baal Shem Tov, whose neshama is up in the higher spheres, is considered a place where you want to go. Again, I don't know how many people visit the Kever of the Baal Shem, but he's saying that that's a great place to visit. Nikra b'china zu ishtatfus al kivrei ha'avos. Now there's a Sefer called Likutei Amorim, which you'll see here in number 4 from the Magen Mimezrich, and he says, k'shalomed b'gemara, as you're learning Gemara, you say, Omer Rav Shimon, you say over a halacha in the name of Rav Shimon, Tevas Shimon hi chiyusa hatana. Once you mention the name Shimon, it gives a certain chius to the Tana of Rav Shimon. V'chein, and so to shame call Adam hu heyos shalo, the name of a person represents his identity, his unique identity. Shem havaya is the machaya makasha achiusim amochim, and therefore, when he says the Torah in the name of someone like Rav Shimon, and he calls him by name, that gives a certain chius, because the chius of that person is inherent in his name. The Pelioitz continues, just give me 5 minutes and then I'll take questions. The Pelioitz in number 5 continues and he says, Umagam im yitrach litoreitz divrayim zeh choshuv mi'od etzlo. What happens in a case where you're transmitting the Torah of someone and then there's a question that you have? There's a contradiction. If you can reconcile that contradiction, that's even more chashuv. You're doing even a greater gift on behalf of the deceased. And therefore, again, getting back to Rav Stern, he writes in number 6 that there's a certain chashivus, a certain significance to be metareitz divrei kadmonim, to mention the Torah and then defend the Torah. And he says that as a result, Zocha shali asid lava shali asid yivuar yavou lekabel nishmaso. Now I'm not sure what this means. If you take a look at the Shach says umuftach ani bechesed elyon kad shchivna Kodnafki mi bali am Mishnah ubraisa v'shas la'ofel mitarzim misayu v'kushta. And he seems to be raising some sort of a prayer, and he's confident that there'll be some chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that after I will die, then the neshamas of all the greats that I tried to explain, of the Balei Mishnah, the Brice and Shas, will come, and they will somehow be able to justify and prove and verify the truth of what I said. And Veleste spake of a gimgum klal. In other words, even though the Shach is worried, is concerned about his insight that maybe there are contradictions, he feels that with the future and the passage of time, there will be an answer. Maybe I'll be able to
answer.
Terutz. Maybe I'll be able to answer. He says, Baruch Hashem, Asher Her Einai. And he gives himself credit when he has a kasha on the Mishnah, or the Brais, or Shas. And he himself is able to defend and answer these questions. Then Hashem gave him a aura, some sort of a light from on high. Hanicheni b'derech ha'emes. And now I was able to bring the words of the Kadmonim even higher and higher. And he quotes here, number 7, Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim of Chachmei Ashkenaz, in his commentary on the Torah. And he says that when the Pasuk says about Reuven that he heard Yaakov, Sha'ozav es Lea imo, Velokach es Bila, Holach Reuven min ha'aretz, Vayishma Yisrael Sha'olach Reuven min ha'aretz, Vesholach Achrov, Vayeshev Reuven, Vayu b'nei Yaakov yudbeis. So he quotes the Balei HaTosfos, who say the Asa Ruvain Vinashke Akare Lufisha Diber Imo Tov. Hadisha Ruvain Hikits Lurabenu Ephraim Vinoshko Ad Shehemlitz Olav Tov. So this is an unbelievable chiddush over here. That Rabbeinu Ephraim had a new pshat in the parsha of Ruvain, and in that pshat he justifies Ruvain's actions, and he claims that when Ruvain left, he did not leave, even though, again, he was guilty of that sin. We're not going to go into detail about that sin with Bilhah and so forth. But as a result, he was still incorporated into the Yud Beis Shvatim. He didn't lose his status, Reuven, as one of the Yud Beis Shvatim. And this is the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Ephraim, a whole new pshat in the Pasuk of Vayikach of Reuven. That Holach Reuven, and nevertheless, he's Sholach Achra Vayoshev Reuven, that when it's Pasuk says he came back, he was reinstated in the B'nai Yaakov as one of the 12 Shiftei Kah. And then it says Vayeshev Reuven when he comes back to the bar. Yeah. And according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, Vayoshev Reuven al bar is a symbolic message that he was reinstated in B'nai Yaakov. In any event, when
it's a continuation of
this story, and he says the following:
when Reuven
heard this chiddush of Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Ephraim apparently went to sleep, and bar Reuven, and Reuven came and he kissed him. Why? Because Rabbeinu Ephraim was mechadish this chiddush. And he enabled Reuven in this interpretation to be reinstated.
Yeah.
Again, it's a very Kabbalistic concept, but it seems that even when you mechadish a chiddush, and it somehow defends and protects the honor of the original kadmonim, they come back with the hakar satov. And the chidah says that he heard once in the name of the Ramah that haposkim Litovas Reuven, he says that if we interpret the various verses as being Litovas Reuven for his benefit, then Reuven bechalom hichzik lo tova shahofach bischuso. Then Reuven came to him in a dream and he said to him, I owe you a debt of gratitude because you were able to be mahapich bischusi. You came up with the justification that reinstated me into the Yud Beis Shvatim. Ha'alshich nigla ba'kitz lechacham echad sha'irogel lo medrashosa. There was a person, a chacham, who was constantly quoting the Alshich. And as a result, the Alshich showed up in a dream and he expressed his gratitude to this chacham. And he says to him, "You have saved me from death because now I'm alive." So we have all these stories. We'll have to end now because I want to learn a little Chumash. If anyone's interested, please stay. And we'll try to complete this a little bit later on, but the main, you know, if we connect the two parts of this Peleoetz on two sides of the page, we spoke about the power of Dibur, Bris, Kruso, Lisvasayim. We have to be very careful about what we speak. And now we spoke about the fact that the power of speech is such that we can resurrect the dead, bring them out of death into a state of life, and they now get a chius because we say over their Torah. And Emirat Hashem, we should be zocher to be very careful and use our power of speech in the proper way.
In the Gemara, they're always giving credit to this one said in this one's name and this one's name. It's not a Hiddush. It's always the
right, and it's all based on this concept of Svasav Dovros Bekev. Okay, now if you want to stay for Chumash, I have here a Shvilei Pinchas for you, and you can give this out.
How many pages?